Big Fish is a story told by a son about his father's death. Or maybe his life, I think. Yes. Though the story begins with Edward Bloom dying, the bigger story is about his life and his son's life. And maybe the lives of all the sons and fathers and mothers and daughters and parents and children and everyone who has ever lived, ever. Yes, everyone who has ever lived or ever will. Now that, I think Edward would agree, is worth preaching about. I told you my whole message was contained in that opening number, Be the Hero. Well, what does it mean to be the hero of your own story? For Edward, I'm not sure, but the evidence we have is that to be the hero of his own story meant to be bigger than his life story, or to be the biggest character in his life story. He saved a town once. He saved a mermaid. He saved a giant who you would think would be the biggest character in that story, but no. Edward saved the giant, so he was even bigger than the giant. He was the biggest character in every story he ever told. And that is the truth about not so much who Edward was as who he wanted to be. Edward Bloom is dying, and his son, whom he loves and who loves him, though it's not easy, though it's not spoken about plainly, his son comes to be with him as he dies. One day, very near the end, Edward, lying on his deathbed, says to his son, William, I'll tell you what the problem was, he says, lifting his hand from his son's knee and motioning for him to come closer. And his son comes closer because he wants to hear this, because the next words could be his father's last words. His father whispers, I wanted to be a great man. Really? His son says, as if this comes as some sort of surprise. Really? He says, his words come slow and weak, but steady and strong in feeling and thought. Can you believe it? I thought it was my destiny. A big fish in a big pond. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted from day one. And so that is how he told his story. And that is how he raised his son. He sang to his son, I know somewhere in the darkness there's a story meant for me where I always know exactly what to say. I know somewhere some surprising ending waits for me to tell it my own way. And then he says, what I asked you to pay attention to, be the hero of your story if you can. Be the champion in the fight, not just the man. Don't depend on other people to put paper next to pen. Be the hero of your story, boy. Oh, but that advice does not resonate with his son. Edward found himself angry and resentful of this man, his father, who wanted to be a big fish in a big pond when all Edward wanted was for his father to be his fish. At home in his pond. At home instead of on the road, attending to him instead of attending to prime ministers. William's resentment is apparent as he finds out that soon he will be a father himself. He sings to the unborn son that he has yet to meet. He sings, when he's born, I'll teach him how to use his common sense. He'll listen and he'll learn and he'll excel. I'll tell my son that life is lived in clear and present tense, not only in the stories that we tell. Ouch. I will not, William makes clear, be the kind of father that my father was with his flamboyance and his tall tales. My father told me stories I could never comprehend. In every tale, he'd claim to be the hero. I've tried to understand him, but I wonder if I can, because after almost 30 years, I still don't know that man. I wish I knew that man. Listen to William sing it.
Stranger, I'm feeling stranger than I've ever felt before. And so much more different, like something old has joined with something new, but still feels true. I'm passing through a rite that every parent does. I'm walking on some shared familiar ground, yet every step I take is not a step that was. And I found I like the sound of stranger. A child I've yet to meet becomes my everything, my song to sing, father. And suddenly the weight of it is real. What do I feel? I feel connected in some way I've never known. A line from dad to me to newborn son. So from today I'll make a choice alone. One for all for one. And when he's born, I'll teach him how to use his common sense. He'll listen and he'll learn and he'll excel. I'll tell my son that life is lived in clear and present tense. Not only in the stories we can tell. My father told me stories I could never comprehend. In every tale he'd claim to be the hero. I've tried to understand him, but I wonder if I can. Because after almost 30 years, I still don't know the man. I wish I knew the man, so that strangers we will be.
You heard the anger, right? Even though the song was beautiful, you heard the declaration that William will be a completely different type of father. Well, as you can expect, William's mother, Edward's wife, is aware of the struggle between her son and his father. In one of the songs that we won't hear today, she sings, "There are two men in my life, him and you. And I never want to choose between the two. He distorts and he invents. Some stories don't make sense, but why should that confuse you? Why not let the man amuse you? He tells a harmless tale that always drives you mad." But now listen, aren't you telling stories too? From your point of view? Just different from your dad? You know, I think Sandra Bloom becomes awfully close to being the actual hero of this story. She is the bridge between the two. I found myself wondering what her secret was. How did she make peace with the Father and the Son so extremely different from one another? How did she love them both, champion them both, encourage them both? I think her secret is that she understands that what Edward says is true. We must be the hero of our own story and let others be the hero of their own story and let it go. But we often aren't so generous, are we? We aren't content to be the hero of our own story and let others be the heroes of their own. We often demand that they serve as our heroes. We want parents who make us proud, who anticipate our needs, who never embarrass us, and who don't dare to be complicated. Who never embarrass us. Did I already say that? We'd like children who succeed where we've failed and whose lives attest to the excellent parents we have been. We'd like siblings whose names we can drop, who are upstanding and passionate about the same issues we are, and it's not really fair. What we discover as we read or watch Big Fish is that people loved Edward. People loved Edward. They adored him. They showed up in droves at his funeral and told stories about what he had done for them or meant for them, but his son could not see it. William wanted Edward to be who he was not, and he couldn't give his father the grace to be who he was. Remember what William said about the son he was waiting for? When he's born, I'll teach him how to use his common sense. He'll listen and he'll excel. I'll tell my son that life is lived in clear and present tense, not only in the stories that we tell. Two things are happening here. One, William is revealing that he feels his father failed him with his stories, his fish stories, his tall tales. He wanted a different kind of father. One, I guess, more like the father he intends to be, who will be quieter, steadier, presenter, who will make sure that his son understands life is lived in clear and present tense and not in myth and story. And two, William is setting himself up to be the hero of his son's life in a way completely different from the way his father behaved. I'll tell my son that life is lived this way, not that way. Here's the problem, William. You don't know yet what your son will need. You only know what you needed. You only know what expectations you had for your father and that he didn't meet. Let me interject here. 12-step programs are onto something when they say that expectations are premeditated disappointments. William didn't want his father to be who he was. He wanted his father to be who he needed him to be, who he wanted him to be. What if William had been able to give his father the grace that his mother did? What if William had been able to look at his father and seen the magic in the man? Sandra, William's mother and Edward's wife, could see it. Behind his stories and his antics, his jokes and his jest, she saw the magic in the man.
His brand of make-believe convinces me it's real. If only life were like the way he makes me feel. Is he difficult? One could argue. There's a challenge in every day. Do you think I don't understand him? Are you listening when I say he's a thoroughbred in the stable? When he ought to be on the track, let him run with the trumped up fable, 'cause he always will circle back. Sometimes he's like a tank full of laughing gas. Sometimes he's like a pain in the ass. But there is magic in the man, foolish magic in the man. And you no doubt are not about to break the spell. There is magic in the man, pay attention if you can. Maybe you will do just half as well. He's a man with a taste for grandeur. Let's allow him to improvise. Give him only a moment and you're sure he shared in a Nobel Prize. Sometimes he bends the truth with a wrecking ball. Sometimes he's bored with folks who think small. I call it magic in the man, all the ways he's better than. But all you see is him and me with miles to go. If you saw magic in the man rather than a battle plan, you might be glad that he's the dad you know. His brand of make-believe convinces me it's real. If only life were like the way he makes me feel. Not merely entertainment on a non-stop flight. What makes you so sure that you're so right? Doubt are not about to break the spell. No, there is magic in the man, maddening magic in the man. But I worry, son, that he's begun to fall apart. Without the magic and the man, I'm right back where I began. A frightened girl.
If you saw magic in the man rather than a battle plan, you might be glad that he's the dad you know. His brand of make-believe convinces me it's real. If only life were like the way he makes me feel. I love her. If William could just find that grace for his father, see the magic, Now, let's be clear. There is no reason for us to believe that Edward is mean or angry or selfish or cold. He wants to be bigger than life, so he paints himself that way. And oh, he embarrasses his son and frustrates him and embarrasses his son. I know I already said that. But William just can't give him grace. You know what's ironic about that? William is absolutely ready to give his unborn son grace and love. He sings, "A child I've yet to meet becomes my everything." Oh, I hope William means it. That he will love his son, the son he has yet to meet, even if that son is very much like his grandfather. Loud or quiet. Creative, artistic, athletic, moody. Neurospicy, as my friends say. L, G, B, T, non-binary, Christian, atheist. Oh, William, love that child without expectation. Let the child be the hero of their own story and find in them, like their grandmother surely will, the magic. William, don't let the river come between you and your son. That river that separates you from your father. William, step across. When the person on the other side is someone you love, someone who loves you, even though you are passionately different, then river be damned, step across.
This river between us grows wider each day. He talks, but he mostly has little to say. I beg him to separate the truth from the tale, but the river invites him. This river between us grows harder to bear. He's standing beside me, but not really there. His flights turn to fancy as soon as he'll start, but this river excites him. So Edward takes heart. Father, he talks of miracles, of mystery and love-hate. He's been around the world, he says, and dined with heads of state. My father speaks of fireworks, of shooting stars above you. But how can you believe some liar when he says, I love you?
My son's convinced that I'm a liar. Now there's a funny punchline, and in the final hour, discarded like the trash, he insults me, then he stands apart, he thinks he's smart. This river between us is selfish and cold. It flows where it wants to, it can't be controlled. My son doesn't want me to be what I am. He don't give a damn.
He only sees what he invents.
He only sees the black and white.
All make believe and all pretense.
And always wants to start a fight.
He doesn't change.
He doesn't stay.
And so the river winds its way.
This river between us may never be crossed. And while we stay silent, we're violently tossed. I'll leave him to ponder.
I'll leave him alone.
Cause he's made of stone.
He's made of stone.
He's made of stone.
He's made of stone.
This river between us can reach like the sea. Holding on for dear life is my child and me.
He'll come to his senses.
He's swimming and yet
he'll drop his defenses.
He's caught in a net.
And though I can't change it, someday he'll regret.
This river between us.
This river between us.
This river.
And that's how we do the Bible on Broadway. We raise up the themes, like be the hero of your story, be true to yourself, follow your dreams, live big, live loud, live quiet, live true, and let others live true, even if it's louder than you, or flashier, or more subtle. Don't hold them, younger or older, parents or children, family or friends, don't hold them to your expectations. Live true with love, compassion, kindness, and allow them to do the same. It's good, right? Except for I kind of left out the Bible part of the Bible on Broadway, and that's why I'm here. To help you bring your faith to bear on these big stories, these big themes, because I don't know about you, but I need help. I need guidance, a guiding light, you might say, and for me, that guiding light often comes from Scripture, or I should say from Scripture laid alongside my life, my struggles, my failings, and my fears. God, help me with my fears. So, you know, this theme of allowing people to be the heroes of their own stories without our own particular judgments is rampant in the Bible. Joseph and his brothers. His brothers hated Joseph's stories and his dreams and his big ideas, and they hated that their father saw the magic in him. And if you don't know how that turned out, check out Genesis 37. And Martha was convinced she knew the right way to be the daughter, the sister, the friend. She resented Mary's carefree, intimate access to Jesus. She didn't think it was responsible at all. And Jesus' own family, remember this, when he was preaching, went out to restrain him. He was embarrassing them for God's sake. And people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. And Judas. Oh, Judas. Who wanted a conquering hero, a war hero, an answer to the emperor, could not see the magic in the man, Jesus. It is going to be so tempting over the next few months to critique everyone else's story, to be embarrassed by it, to be angered by it, to be righteous about it. I'm encouraging you to focus on your own life, your words, your actions, your stories, truth as you best understand it. You'll be tempted to edit and to author other people's stories, but they are not yours. Stand up to injustice always. And the best way to do that is through your actions, not critique of others. Through your words, may they be measured and respectful and encourage kindness. Even your thoughts which will often become your words and actions. And remember that you are not on your own. Your faith is a guiding light, even in the deepest waters, even in the mystery. Keep your eyes above the waves. Rest in God's embrace. We have been sung to during Broadway, sung to and preached to. And I want us to end today by singing. It's the song we sang together after our community prayer. Sing it with us. And over the days and months to come, I encourage you to keep this song ever at the ready.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you. Soul will rest in your embrace, for I